Hi, I'm Marcus Edwards, and I'm interested in talking to people who are interested in talking to people who are interested in having a conversation about their future. Does that make any sense? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Recruiting Trailblazers. So I'm very excited to welcome my guest today to Recruiting Trailblazers. Susan Burke is the Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Peace Health, a Pacific Northwest-based healthcare system. Her 27-plus years of talent acquisition experience spans a wide variety of industries, including tech, banking, public utilities, green energy, and of course, healthcare. Susan excels in strategic talent acquisition planning and execution, optimizing for efficiency and return on investment, leading and developing remote teams, and building belonging through diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. So, welcome to the podcast, Susan Burke.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Excellent stuff. Now, no surprise, you're a TA leader of a fairly big team, and we're going to get into that in a bit. But no surprises, you actually started off in agency, didn't you? A while ago, rather like myself. How did your start in agency recruitment, do you think, set you up for success in corporate talent acquisition?
Yeah, that's a great question. I, you know, like a lot of us, of course, I did start my career back in the agency side of the business. I do think, you know, it's an interesting way to get started because you do have exposure to a wide variety of different employers and different types of positions, and you get good at figuring out how to flex your style, flex your recruiting, figure out how to source for positions that maybe you wouldn't have the opportunity to do just straight working in corporate recruiting, of course, depending on the industry and where you're working. So certainly, I think it's a great way to get started.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you sort of recall the hardcore nature of agency recruitment back in the day when everything was done on the phone, wasn't it?
Everything was done on the phone. In fact, in the agency I worked for, and these are always fun things to think about, right? Because things have changed so much in our industry. When I started, we had one computer in the office that had any form of internet access. Everything else was all mainframe, so they were tied to each other, but that was it. There was no external internet access. So you entered candidates manually. There were no, you know, I remember someone called me one time and said, "Can I email your resume?" We didn't have email when I first started in agency recruitment. No, you can't, but you can fax it to us. Do what? So I remember the days when we used to run ads in the Seattle Times over the weekend. And before you left the office, you had to make sure that the fax machine was filled with paper because you knew you would have applications on Monday morning to go through. So it was a whole different world then. In my day, Monster.com was new to the scene. Flipdog, which I don't think even exists anymore, was new to the scene. And if you started to figure out how to recruit on the internet, then somehow that made you an expert. And today, we look back and think, well, that's kind of silly because that's pretty easy these days. But those days, it was definitely something that was a whole different experience.
Yeah.
And you got really good at talking to people on the phone, where a lot of people today are phone resistant. That was our entire business in those days.
I know. Everybody today just wants to do the job via email and via texting.
Right.
I know. It's crazy. But you don't forget, people. It's all about developing relationships.
That's right.
Yeah. So eventually you found your way into corporate. Yeah. And did that make a lot more sense to you as a recruiter and to your skill set?
It did for me. And it depends on the person and certainly what they're looking to do with their career. What I realized, I think, early on, to your point about relationship building, was I enjoyed the hunt and finding the right candidate for the right position. I really felt good about the matchmaking, where you found that right person for that right job, and both the employer and the new person were thrilled. What I was missing was the ability to then follow that person through their career and watch some of their growth. And so I had an opportunity to go and work for organization that was a startup in those days. And so the recruiting felt a lot like agency recruiting. It was fast paced. It was hiring people that had never been hired before, that had brand new skills. In fact, working for them, I got in trouble one time because I didn't realize that we were partnering with this new software company and started calling their employees because, of course, that's what you do as a recruiter. And so I got my hand gently slapped along with you must have some good recruiters over there because they're calling our people. So, okay, cool. But it gave me the opportunity then to hire those same people, make that match for an organization I could personally tell my story about and share my own experience, and then really watch them as they blossomed and grew in their career. And maybe they were hired in as an individual contributor with goals to become a manager, and you could watch that development. Now they're a manager, now they're a director. And for me, that was personally very fulfilling to work for an organization where you could watch that growth and then also feel personally connected to the business that you were supporting versus kind of that third party.
Right,
so really,
exactly.
I mean, some people love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it feels a lot less like selling when you've got skin in the game.
It does.
When you're like, I chose to work here. These are the reasons I work here. And when you're on the agency side, you're selling because you're representing multiple different companies and you have no idea what it's like to work at these organizations, but you're still selling the opportunity. And if you're a good recruiter, you've done your due diligence. And so you know everything about that employer, everything about your client. So you can share that with them. And hopefully you've visited their offices and stuff like that. That's certainly how we used to do it. We used to visit all of our clients. I know that doesn't happen necessarily today because it's such a global business, but yeah. So yeah, it feels a lot less like selling, I imagine, on the corporate side, but I've never worked on the corporate side, but I could play an internal recruiter on the TV, I'm sure.
I know
the lingo. So you've built obviously a fairly substantial team over there at Peace Health. I believe you've got what, 60, 65 recruiters working for you?
Yeah, we have a total team size of 63, and that includes our recruiting teams, as well as the sourcers, coordinators. I have a TA marketing specialist on our team, and our team also manages contingent staffing as well. So it includes those resources too.
Right. Okay. So that sounds like a lot of meetings every week, yeah?
It can be. Yes, it can.
You probably spend your life on Zoom.
Oh, definitely. We use Teams, but same thing.
Yeah. Do you guys go into the office or is it a remote organization?
We are, since COVID, primarily remote. I have recruiters that are across four different states right now. And so that can be, you know, somewhat challenging when it comes to in-person meetings. We have brought the team together, the full team together, twice in the last year or so for in-person meetings. But we tend to, from a stewardship perspective, knowing that there is time involved and expense involved, we tend to really only bring the team together in person when there's something that needs to be done in person. So an example of that, this last year we rolled out a DEI institute within our team, and we felt like the launch of that was best done in person. So we tend to be mostly remote. And then the recruiters, of course, are out traveling. They're visiting our different sites. They're talking with their hiring managers. We're attending events. So there is some, you know, travel, at least local travel for the most part involved, but mostly we work remote these days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we get into our sort of main topic, which we're going to discuss today, all about building relationships and partnerships internally, you know, in what is a fairly substantial organization. Tell me a bit about your recruiting, internal recruiting practices. What are you looking for in a recruiter? And what's your secret for building like a strong, cohesive TA team?
Yeah, I mean, those are really good questions. And I'm sure everyone has a different response to it. I would tell you that what I look for in a recruiter is eagerness, passion, the desire for some of that matchmaking that I mentioned, some flexibility, creativity, ability to take in guidance and mentorship without maybe taking it as personally. You have to know as a recruiter that you're going to get a no a lot. So yeah, you went out and sourced six candidates and none of them end up accepting the job. It happens. And so you have to be able to have that persistence to know you're going to work at it until that job is filled. And that is one of those differences from agency, right? Because if you didn't fill it on agency, somebody else probably did. When you're a corporate recruiter, it's your responsibility to get that job filled, even if it takes you a year sometimes to get it filled. So you have to have some of that tenacity and some of that ability to not take it personally, that candidates are not saying yes to you immediately. And I think from a development perspective, you know, those that are eager to really understand the business they support are the ones that will do the best long term. Those are the ones that people say, gosh, my recruiter to me feels like an extension of my team. I feel like they work on my team. You know, they're a part of who we are. Those are the recruiters that seem to do the best and certainly are in this for the long haul, no matter what industry they're working in.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about how to build those internal relationships.
Yeah.
But before you do that, you have to hire people who are willing to build those relationships with internal stakeholders. But what I'm hearing is a reflection of my own values when it comes to hiring recruiters, which is I'm looking for passion, persistence, mm-hmm. and polish.
Absolutely.
And the one thing which you touched on there, which I'd have to add to my three P's, which isn't a P annoyingly, is resilience. Because I think resilience is at the heart of certainly all good agency recruiters have to be incredibly resilient. And I think obviously as an internal recruiter, you need to be very resilient as well, because not everybody's going to want to join you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about how to build trust and credibility and ultimately partnership with internal stakeholders, you know, including hiring managers, interview panels, etc. So first of all, what are some of the key issues that as a leader and as a TA team, you've needed to overcome when it comes to building those partnerships that you need inside the business? And then we'll talk about the why, you know, to allow the TA function to really thrive.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that any organization faces these days when you're trying to build those internal partnerships is the lack of time for everyone. Everyone feels completely overwhelmed, like they don't have enough resources. There are too many priorities. I think the, you know, post-COVID world where this work-life balance thing that we used to think exists doesn't really anymore. You're constantly thinking about what you're working on. That's kind of your biggest barrier when you're working to create relationships. So you say to your hiring manager, I just need, you know, half an hour of your time to really understand your business. I don't have half an hour. I just need you to fill my job and move on. And I think that is our biggest strategic challenge, is they don't really understand that that investment of those 30 minutes is something that will really help them to get the best candidate they possibly could for that role. And will ultimately help them as they continue working with that same recruiter, because that first 30 minutes, now the sixth position you're filling for them, you already have that understanding. You have that, you know, that knowledge that you need to put the right person in that job.
Yeah, so a lot of internal stakeholders merely see the recruiting function as a service that's offered
Absolutely.
To them, you know, and they're looking for the best frictionless service. They don't understand Yes. perhaps that this is a full friction environment. This is a full friction practice that you need to get involved with when it comes to recruitment, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the main problem. What's the why? Okay, why do you need to develop these relationships? What's the benefit to the business? What's your pitch to internal stakeholders in general? And when you first get to meet them, and how do you coach your recruiters to approach internal stakeholders and explain why this process needs to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest pitch is that you will get better outcomes, and that sometimes you end up solving problems that you didn't even realize were problems initially. A good example of that, you know, you talk about recruitment strategy all the time, and it's always finger pointing at recruitment. If the recruiter could just fill all my positions, I would have no other issues. Would you though? Because we've noticed that your retention is terrible. So I hire these people in and then you lose them as fast as you can. What's really going on with that? And I think people don't understand that oftentimes recruiters and recruiting leaders have a broader understanding of their business. They, you know, have a broader understanding of what's happening in the market. And we can often offer guidance or solutions, even if we don't always own them, that will help them to create those greater outcomes. Maybe they lower their retention. Maybe they recognize, oh, we have a cultural problem within the team that needs to be addressed. Maybe they recognize there's compensation challenges in the marketplace that they haven't dealt with. There are all sorts of reasons why partnering with your recruiter to get that better outcome is really going to help you. So I think there's certainly a business case as you approach yeah. this in the very beginning as to why that investment in those relationship is really important.
You got to get them to understand that you're value players in the recruitment chain.
Exactly.
And it's not just about finding the resume and sending the resume. And I think that's sometimes what stakeholders reduce recruitment to. Just go and find mm-hmm. me some more resumes.
Exactly.
And what you're saying is, well, no, but if you lean a bit harder into us, we can offer you a whole suite of services that's going to enhance and help you optimize the entire recruiting process. So what are the components? If you get the opportunity to sit down with a stakeholder or a hiring manager, and they're fairly green to the organization, how do you explain the components of how the TA team operates with and builds those partnerships? What are the components to the recruiting process?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question too. So the biggest piece of that, of course, is that recruiters are consultants. And I think to your point, you know, we're not order takers, we are consultants in the process. And so we are here to help you to find the best match for your position. The best way to do that, of course, is to understand the business and understand what you personally are looking for in a candidate. Are you looking for someone who's going to challenge the norm? Are you looking for someone who's just going to, you know, keep the lights on? What are your goals for your business? And how is this person that we're going to hire for you going to help you to meet those goals? So I think when you think about kind of the process that we go through, that initial, you know, what we often refer to as an intake session or a consulting session or a strategy session, whatever it might be in your organization, is really designed to help set up from the beginning, this is the process we are going to follow. I'm going to help understand, you know, what you need. I'm going to go help find those candidates. I'm going to screen those candidates for you based on what you told me you need. I'm going to send them over to you fully screened, interested, they meet your compensation requirements. All you have to do is then decide, this is someone I want to interview or I don't. If you don't, we want feedback on why is this person not the right fit for you, because that helps us then adjust the next candidate we're going to send your way. If you do, we'd love to know what you loved about them too, because that's similar, that'll help us to look for other candidates that are similar in that process. And then we're here to help you with negotiation on the back end. So you finally find that person that you love and you want them on board. We're going to help sell them at the end as well as at the beginning. We're going to help to get to closure where they're going to accept that offer and they're going to be just as excited as we are about that position. So really is that consulting and not, as you mentioned earlier, just send me all the resumes. I mean, you hear that all the time, just send me all the resumes. I'm not going to just send you all the resumes because I can add some of that value. And as a recruiter, looking at the entire organization, not only am I benefiting you, but I'm benefiting the organization, because if I do talk to someone that may not be the right fit for your job, then I have the opportunity to say, well, let me think about what might be the right fit. And maybe I also have another opportunity in my organization that fits them. Or maybe it's 6 months down the road that I'm calling them back and saying, hey, the opportunity you're really looking for just presented itself and you'd be a great candidate for that. So thinking about not just the pipelines of today, but the pipelines of the future are part of this recruiting process that we go through as we help those leaders to fill their positions.
Yeah, I want to touch on that later in the conversation as well, how important it is to give everybody an equal candidate experience and to treat candidates who come through the interview process a lot like you treat your customers, so that they become
advocates.
So whether or not they get the job, which most of them won't, because you interview a lot more people than you hire, by, you know, a factor of at least 10 to 1, then you want those people out in the market saying, yeah, but they seemed like a great organization. They had a great process. Now, I wanted to just go back to what you were saying about intake calls, because I was talking to an agency owner this morning about this and saying to them, look, if your client's not willing to give you an intake call, a decent, you know, half hour, 45 minute session, I wouldn't work with them. Personally, I'm not going to work with an organization. As an agency recruiter, I advise people not to work with companies who say we're too busy to do an intake call. Here's the job description. And I think it's very similar inside organizations as well. It sounds like you sort of feel similarly to me on this topic, because it all begins with the intake call. You can get hiring managers to really understand themselves better by taking them through a very intelligent sort of like questioning process. But more importantly, I think, you know, I always say, look, just chuck away the job description for a second and let me see this opportunity through your eyes. What are you actually looking for? What are your hot buttons? What kind of personalities are you looking for? Let's look at a couple of profiles together and show me what you're looking for. So I can really, because I find that job descriptions are often very misleading. They're just like laundry lists of skills and experience, and they're kind of irrelevant. And if you're a recruiter who believes in skills-based hiring, you know, it's often quite very difficult to interpret what they're actually looking for. So how do you go about it? Do you have a format for intake calls? And talk to me about how important you find that process.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. So of course, you're always going to start with that job description, even if you really do want to just throw it out the window. Let's be real. We're also a compliance business. So there are things that we do have to check in terms of, this person does meet the minimum qualifications of the position.
Yeah.
But it's the preferred skills you really care more about. So you really want to read through, what does the job description tell me? What questions do I have? If I were looking at trying to apply for this position, what do I want to know? Maybe I want to know, you know, team size, or what your goals are, or what's the big project you're working on right now, or what have you been through culture over the last year, those are the questions that you want to ask your hiring manager, because those are the questions you're going to hopefully be able to answer for your candidates too. You want the story. What is it that is the compelling reason why someone would want to take this job? Is it a next step in their career? Is it something that they're going to be working on technology no one else has really been able to do yet? Or is it something where they're really just in maintenance mode? And some people love that too, but you would like to understand that. So as you're talking to those candidates, you have that story to be able to share with them. And I think one of the biggest pieces is understanding the business you work for. You know, where are we going? What are our challenges? What are our successes that we can share? And understanding the industry that you're working in. So, you know, where are we trending? What questions can I ask about that? Hey, and I heard in a business meeting last week that we were thinking about solving X. Is this part of that project? Will blow away your hiring manager because you're paying attention to what's going on inside your organization and outside your organization. You're asking questions that probably would have come from one of their candidates, but is coming from their recruiter. Whoa, my recruiter really wants to understand my business. This is different. I expected you would just send me resumes, right? So I think it's really just about starting with your job description and then delving into what business problem are they trying to solve by hiring this person? And it can't just be, I have a vacancy and too much work to do. There's a business problem there. It's a project we're working on. It's the team needs this one strength that we don't currently have.
Yeah.
You have that ability. Anytime there's turnover or a new position, you have that ability to take a step back and say, what is it that this team, you know, particularly needs that will help solve that business problem? And if you can get to that answer, you'll find their right candidate every single time.
Yeah. Brilliant. So what's the business problem that needs solving? But also, why would this person, if they're doing the same job somewhere else, want to come and join your team? Because unless you're paying $50,000 more than everybody else in the market, which is highly unlikely, I think that's a question that's often easily overlooked. And I think hiring managers, they're always looking, I call it defensive hiring. They're always looking to hire somebody who's been doing the same job successfully somewhere else. Well, why do they want to join you then if they're doing it successfully somewhere else? I mean, I believe in hire for attitude, train for skills as well. So I believe in looking at intercepting people's careers and offering them, you know, sort of a step up, if you like. And that's always an exciting way to present an opportunity to give someone a chance to step into a slightly more senior role or a more challenging role. But if you're just talking to candidates who are doing the same thing at another organization, then you do have to have the story down.
You do. And the negative too, right? I mean, there's also and what are the things they're not going to like about this job? Because you do want to share some of those things too. You want people to be aware of that. You know, the phrase, no surprise hiring. You don't want them to walk in the door the first day and regret their decision to join your organization. You want them to walk in and say, okay, there's a few negatives, but I knew those were going to happen.
Right.
I'm really more excited about the positives.
I think it's very important to communicate the culture of the organization to candidates. And I've often said on this podcast, you know, culture is the biggest mover of people. Mm-hmm. People opt into companies because of their culture, but people also opt out of companies because of their culture. And it's a very, very important part of every organization to understand, you know, how they're going to be treated. I mean, culture to me is how people treat each other and how people make each other feel in the office. If you get the Sunday scaries every week, then you might not be working for a company whose culture you love. But if you can't wait to get up in the morning and get after it, then, you know, stick around. That's the most important thing. You know, I mean, as a recruiter, the story I hear that I've heard the most over the years is, I just don't see it the same way as my boss sees it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's being polite.
Yes. And
that's culture as well.
It is.
So when you're having these conversations we've talked about the intake call, but that's just the beginning of the process. And it's not like you just then opt out until it's time to close the candidate. How do you help your internal stakeholders through the whole recruiting life cycle? How do you equip them to do good interviews? How do you equip them to scorecard candidates effectively and consistently? And how do you help them give feedback, the proper feedback to candidates that you're going to need as well when you speak to the candidates? So how do you walk them through the process to the point where they understand they have to partner with you on all of this stuff. It's not, you're just not throwing the candidate to the wolves and hoping for the best. It needs to be a very synchronous kind of experience, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think that's a really interesting question because it also depends upon how structured your organization might be when it comes to the interview process. So if you happen to work for an organization that is really good about telling you, like, these are the, you know, the skills that are needed, these are the attributes, and they actually have a, you know, a format that says, okay, one of the things we're looking for is leadership, and we're looking for, you know, skills in a technology or whatever that might be, and it is more prescribed, that's almost easier because you can say, we've identified the traits of this particular position that's focus in on some questions in these areas, and you can give them some examples of questions. You might be dealing with a leader who is relatively new to this and would welcome that, or you might be dealing with a leader who has been doing this for 25 years and feels like, no, I got my own questions, I'm good. Oh, can I help you take a quick look at those so that we make sure we have a really quality candidate experience? And so you offer that opportunity with them. I think telling them right up front, you know, I'm going to be talking to your candidates. I'm going to be doing a phone interview. If you want to, run your phone interview questions by them. Ask for their input and their blessing on the things that you're asking. And then take notes when you are interviewing your candidate and share those interview questions and your notes with them when you send the resume over. Give them a little summary on why you think this person meets the requirements for the role and what they're really looking for based upon that conversation you had with them. And then let them know that your expectation is that you're going to get feedback. And if the feedback is, you know, they don't have enough years of experience. Okay, well, can we talk about the quality of the experience they had? You're going to ask them some of those questions that might be a little more provocative, that might get them to think a second time. And ultimately, what happens as you're doing that is you build some of that credibility that eventually they trust you to say, you know what, just go ahead and schedule those people on my calendar. Or they trust you to say, you know, I know you weren't going to consider this candidate. I think you really should. Okay, well, at least I'll do a phone interview with them. And surprise, it's a great candidate that they will want to move forward in the process. So that's part of your credibility building, is not just the candidate experience, but also your ability to maybe push back in a gentle way a little bit on that hiring leader, on what maybe they're looking for based on what they told you, based on what you've seen in their business, et cetera.
I think that's a great point just to stop on for a second, because I've always looked to achieve that with my clients, which is the point at which they say to me, look, you understand this requirement. You understand exactly what I'm looking for. I don't need to screen the resumes anymore.
Exactly.
Okay, here's my calendar, or here are some interview slots that you can just put your people into because I trust you. And I think that's a really good goal for internal recruiters to, and I think it's worth explaining that to the internal stakeholder, to the hiring manager as well, and say, my goal is to get you to trust me to the point where you're not even going to have to read the resumes. I'm just going to put these people in your calendar for screening. And I think by stating that, then the stakeholder will look at you and say, wow, okay, this is, I love your confidence. I'd love to get there. And if you combine that with what you were saying earlier about intelligence around the business and demonstrating that you understand the organizational structure of the business, that's often a great way to forge, you know, meaningful relationships, is to demonstrate how well you know the actual org chart as well, and who does what and where and why. And quite often you find yourself, especially in an organization your size, as a recruiter inside the organization, you've got special access to all sorts of different areas of the business. You can start introducing stakeholders to one another, saying, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. And that can be very empowering as well, and build a lot of credibility.
It absolutely can. I mean, to your point, I've had situations where as a recruiter in the recruiter chair, you know, I was working on software development positions, and I had software developers say to me, I'm surprised you're not a developer, because I knew so much about the position and about what they were working on that I could describe it in a way that really resonated with them. I have never done any software development. I don't know that I have the mind to do software development. But you get that good at understanding your business that when you're telling the story, people believe that you are a part of that team because you're so good at telling that story. And to your point about candidate experience, you know, that feedback loop is so critical, because I think too often the recruiter is left with letting a candidate know we're not moving forward, and they have no other reason than just, we found some other people we think are better. That's a terrible experience.
That's a bad experience.
And I sat in an office with someone that, you know, I shared an office with her, and she was more experienced than I was early in my career. And she was a master at turning down a candidate. And she would give them the best feedback that, you know, hey, we decided not to move forward because we found a candidate who had X, Y, and Z skill. And they would give you something that was skill specific. Or she might say, I don't know if you realize this, but when you were in the interview, here's how you were coming across. For future interviews, you might want to consider tweaking your style a little bit and maybe give them some coaching and some feedback that came from those interviews. I can guarantee you that's not easy to hear when you're being turned down for a job, but so many of her candidates will come back and say, you were the only one who gave me that feedback. You changed the way I interviewed for future positions, and I so appreciate that you gave me specific, concrete reasons why I didn't get the offer. And too often today, I think people are so gun-shy, right? We don't want to get into a lawsuit. You don't want to feel like somehow it was a diversity issue. That's not really the reason that we should be relying on, that we don't give people decent feedback. And I guarantee when you give them that kind of information, even if it's not something you want to hear, they are more likely to come buy your products, use your healthcare services, talk about you in a positive light to other people who might also be applying for jobs, and look for a position with you in the future, versus the opposite where you get nothing and you're like, that's it. I'm so done with that company. I can't even stand it. And then you're going to tell 50 of your friends. So that's the other piece of, you know, helping them to understand what's the why in giving me some feedback that I can give to this candidate in a, you know, a nice constructive way that will help them to be better at what they do either here or somewhere else.
I think it must be one of the hardest things to achieve as a TA professional, as an internal recruiter, is to get your internal stakeholders and interview panels and hiring managers to understand that your job isn't just to find out whether or not this person can do the job.
Yeah.
And quite often, I think they come at it negatively. They're looking for reasons not to hire people more than they're looking for reasons to hire
people. Even today, yes.
And that comes across negatively. But I think the hardest thing must be in TA is getting those internal stakeholders to understand the importance of candidate experience, to understand the importance to your employer brand of giving the people who don't get the job a good enough experience that they are going to advocate on your behalf outside in the market and to their friends. I've often said on this podcast, the biggest missed opportunity in recruiting today is how you treat the candidates who don't get the job.
Exactly.
Because they're the ones who are going to speak the loudest about you out in the marketplace. And,
exactly
and
right.
I think it's important to treat them as well as you treat your customers. Because they can become, especially an organization as large as yours, where you're interviewing thousands of people every year, that's thousands of potential advocates out there in the marketplace if you give them the right experience. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It comes down to feedback, to really good feedback and counseling those candidates and giving them, you know, really, really positive feedback and perhaps even some coaching on how they could do better next time.
And Marcus, you know, the other piece of that too is, you know, following through on your commitment. So if you as a recruiter believe that you're going to have feedback for a candidate a week from now and you don't, you should have it on your calendar that you are still going to follow up with that person and say, I haven't forgotten you. I don't have any feedback for you yet. Here's what I know is happening in the process, because that goes so long for them. You know, people are talking all day long about ghosting of candidates, that's how they feel. They've had an interview with a recruiter and they hear nothing else ever. They don't get any closure. They don't get any, hey, I'm still working on it. I haven't given up on you, but I don't know anything yet. Here's when I think I might know something. Like, that's the same thing that also builds credibility with your hiring manager. So as you say, I should have candidates for you by the end of next week, and you don't have any candidates. Tell your hiring manager, I don't have any candidates. Here's what I have done on your behalf so far this week. Here's what I'm doing to be able to get those candidates, but follow through on that commitment. And it is the same credibility building on your candidate side as it is on your hiring manager side to build that trust.
Yeah. Is there anything that you do specifically or conversations that you have to help people over that bridge and say, look, don't forget, okay, that this process is the way that we show each candidate, our company, and how we operate, how we behave, how we treat people. Is there a diplomatic way of having that conversation or spreading the word and saying to people, you need to be doing a little bit of selling. You're not just buying, you are also selling. Do you get that message over the line, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, back to the intake session, that is part of the conversation you have in the intake session, is talking about the candidate experience and how important that is for you. You know, for us, we are a mission-driven, faith-based healthcare organization. So we talk about the fact that we still want people to get their care from us and feel like they have access to care regardless of whether they get a job with us. You want them to understand that we still care about them, even if we don't end up employing them. And I think the other piece of that is just keeping them on track. So yeah, you have a great intake session with your hiring hiring manager. You talk about the process. In this case, maybe it's someone that you can't direct schedule on their calendar yet. Okay. And you send them three candidates who are phenomenal and you hear nothing for a week and you have followed up and you're still hearing nothing. I think that is that opportunity to gently remind them, hey, don't forget, we said we would follow up with our candidates within, you know, 3 business days. And reminder, like, this is, the candidates are waiting. They're all excited to hear back from us. So you try to gently do that. And then the reality is at some point, if you really have to, then you can involve their leader in it. You really don't want to do that because it feels like you're throwing them underneath the bus. You don't want to do any of that if you don't have to. But I think that kind of gentle reminder and putting it even on your calendar to get back in touch with them so it doesn't fall through is helpful. Anytime you can share that transparency in the process or, visibility on what's going on, not giving them that like dark and quiet period where they hear nothing and they're not sure if they're going to interview or not, how crucial that is to that experience and how you don't want that candidate to have that kind of experience. And then you finally get an interview scheduled and you get to the offer and they're wondering, should I accept this offer because my process wasn't nearly as good? So you have that too. It's not just not getting the job. It's also whether they even accept the offer at the end.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's all down to the process. If the process is no good and you're interviewing really quality candidates, they've probably got other opportunities on the table as well. If you don't give them that experience.
Well, that's all they've got
you to judge on. They're judging you on how you've made them feel through that process.
Exactly. And to your point, I mean, sometimes you have to help a hiring manager get over their ego, right? There are leaders that are saying like, you should be thrilled to come work for me and to have this job and to work for my organization. Yes. And they could be thrilled to work for the other 6 organizations they're currently talking to because we live in a different marketplace than we have in decades. And
that's
so you do
funny,
have to do that sales pitch. You do have to kind of get them through the, I know you think you're all that, but you need to tell them why you think you're all that. And in a way that is compelling and the reason why they would want to come join you and not that they feel like, oh, well, that person's just kind of full of themselves.
No,
like,
that's
people
so
don't
true.
Respond well to that anymore.
That is so true, you know, that hiring managers, their assumption every time they step into an interview, and look, I'm painting with a really broad brush here, but it's supposed to be entertaining. Their assumption is that this person wants to come and work for me. In fact, sometimes they ask that question, why do you want to come and work here?
Yes.
Which, when it's like, well, I answered the ad because it sounds like a really interesting organization. I was hoping you would tell me why I would want to come and work here.
It's because the recruiter reached out to me and said they had a compelling opportunity and I was willing to listen. I don't even know if I want to come work for you. You tell me why I should want to come work for you.
Exactly. And so you do have to be diplomatic and you have to get that message across. That it's the responsibility of the hiring manager to, share the good stuff as well. Don't just give them the Spanish Inquisition and expect them to fall in love with the place. And to your point earlier, time kills all deals. On the agency side, okay, what I always say to recruiters is, if you haven't got any news yet, you're in the feedback loop and you've got no news, call the candidate.
Yep.
Why? Well, but I've got no news. Yeah, call them. Tell them you've got no news. They'll love to hear from you. Check in, how their kids are, how their pets are, whatever. Have a quick conversation about the weather. I don't care. But keep in touch with them because time kills all deals.
It does.
And the minute you stop calling your candidates because, you know, your client or your hiring manager has stopped calling you, that candidate just sat there twiddling their thumbs going, oh, maybe I didn't get that job, you know? So I would say,
they're checking their email, they're checking their text messages, they're hoping for a voicemail from you. That's driving them nuts for 3 days. But just because they're expecting you to call and it was 3 days ago that you said you were going to and you haven't yet. And we forget that sometimes, that that anticipation is there. I mean, I don't want any of my recruiting staff to ever leave me ever. But I will tell you that sometimes being on the other side of that is helpful. When you go through the interview process and you're reminded, I really wanted that job and I haven't heard in 3 days. Wow, this doesn't feel good. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's what my candidates go through. And you hope your hiring managers understand that too, that if they ever go through that interview process, that same experience is what all of your candidates are currently going through.
Exactly.
And I think as recruiters, we like being on this side of the table.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable on the other side.
But I think some recruiters think it's uncomfortable to call candidates with no news. And I would say absolutely the opposite. If you don't have a reason... You don't have to have a reason to call a candidate every day when they're in that feedback loop. Call them every day anyway, because it's a wonderful opportunity to double down on your relationship and put Absolutely. You in a much stronger position when it comes time to close that candidate, even if it's a week from now. But if they don't hear from you from a week, first of all, they've probably got another job by then. And secondly, right. you know, you don't know half the things that you know now about their reasons for wanting the job and, you know, their exactly. motivations and you've got a much more personal relationship with them. And it's going to be much harder for them to say no. If you've spoken right. to them 10 times and you've really got to know them well and you've shown some vulnerability as well, you're in a much better position to influence them to take the job that you want them to take, as long as it makes Completely sense on both agree. Sides. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think we've cracked it, Susan. We have absolutely cracked it. We've put the recruiting world to rights once again on Recruiting Trailblazers. I really appreciate you coming along today and having a chat with me. It's been fun. And let's keep in touch and we'll speak again soon, yeah?
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Okay, cheers.